Welcome to the Bravo Papers, a safe space for all us Bravo fans who love to analyze, deconstruct, and talk about our favorite Bravo shows ad nauseum. So join me, Bravo and Botox, and we'll catch up on all the Bravo news and read way too much into our favorite shows and Bravo celebrities. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bravo Papers. We have a very special Bravo Paper episode. Well, the sixth part, I guess, of the Richard Sisters Deep Dive. I am your host, Bravo in Botox, also known as Emily, here and excited to bring you more. And before I get into it, I just want to say thank you because I had such fantastic feedback and reactions from, you know, that fifth part. And I know it's been a while and you've all been incredibly patient and amazing. And I'm excited. You know, it's just, you know, Vanderpump Rules and Summer House kind of took over my life for a hot minute there. And, you know, now it's kind of nice. Those two are over. We're having a little bit of a break. Not that they won't bring more crazy drama next year, but it's kind of nice now to have some time to kind of refocus on the Richard Sisters deep dives and try to get back into that and, you know, maybe even wrap them up. So I'm so glad everybody enjoyed the fifth part. You know, I think I got more comments and all that on the Instagram post than I usually do. Well, I definitely did. Than I usually do. So thank you. It just makes it kind of more fun to record and it makes it more exciting and it just makes it all worthwhile to know that everybody is as into it as I am. So we left off last week with Paris in Love season one, and we were just coming up to Paris's engagement party. So that's where I'm going to pick up from. So they were kind of getting ready. The, you know, engagement party was gearing up. And, you know, we'd also kind of really gone over the main conflict between Paris and Kathy, which is that, you know, Kathy wants a lot more control of the wedding and the wedding planning. And, you know, it's just interesting seeing like a different side of Kathy, because in this series, she really shows, or we really see the way she parents and the way she mothers. And, you know, we kind of get glimpses of like what she did take from Big Kathy. And we also get glimpses of, I think, things that she suppresses or tries to push down, you know, in her attempt to not be like her mother, which ironically, I think makes her more like her. Like in her attempts to push down her emotions and not talk about, you know, the tough things and the hard things that she doesn't want to face, she ends up burying things, which I think leads to a temper. And ironically, the temper is probably maybe one of the things that did the most damage to herself and Kyle and Kim as well. It seems to bother Kyle a lot just from what we saw in the most recent season. But I'm sure, you know, being around like yelling and intensity and fighting, like that's going to mess up anybody as a kid, right? So that's kind of the main thing that we've been seeing. And, you know, we see how it's affecting her relationship with Paris and her family in general, but mostly with Paris because, you know, Paris is or has gone through something and it's getting in the way of them being able to even discuss it or even her willingness to see her own daughter's documentary about her own abuse, which is a pretty huge thing for a mom. Okay, so let's get right into it now. Right into it after my little intro, but you know what I mean. Let's get back into it. So we are having the engagement party for Paris. Kris Jenner is there and she says thank you to Paris because her, Kim, and none of them would have, would be where they were if it wasn't for Paris, which that is true. She kind of started the whole sex tape thing, if you think about it. And they're like, you know, we followed your lead and you know, they do what she does. And she's like, oh, you know, and they all laugh. And I'm like, so does that mean that Kim is admitting that she set up the sex tape? I know that guy that was in the sex tape with Kim Kardashian. What was, I can't remember his name right now, but he did say that it was all set up. So I was like, oh, it's kind of sounding like that. Kathy makes her speech and she definitely throws some digs at Carter in it. Like she has to like, Kathy has to like exert her power. You know what I mean? Like she has to remind everyone, even in this like public moment, I'm the mother of the bride. I'm planning the wedding. Pass the message along to Carter, please. But Paris, this is actually upset. Sorry, I don't know what that sentence was. Paris is upset by this and says, you know, her mom is stressing them out, which, you know, listen, you wouldn't have had a very interesting season of Paris in Love if it wasn't for your mom. I'm just going to say that. I mean, it was interesting, like her talking about her abuse and her history and stuff. But when we're talking about the actual wedding, Kathy did bring all the drama. I'm going to say that. So then they go on like this boat for lunch. So this is Kathy, Nikki, and Paris are meant to go on this like boat lunch date thing. And they have this all booked in advance and they have it planned. And Kathy bitches. So before Paris gets there, Kathy bitches to Nikki about the invite and the color of it being like Jasmine from Aladdin and how it doesn't go with the look or vibe of the wedding, which I mean, we saw the invite on Beverly Hills. If you go back to the episode where Kyle opens it for Mauricio and he's like, oh, gorgeous, beautiful, you know, and they both make like such a big deal about it. Which I remember when I saw it, I was kind of surprised because I was like, oh, it's like that like teal kind of, I don't know, even turquoise color. Which I just wasn't expecting that, but whatever. You know, and Kathy's annoyed about this because they went ahead and did it without her. And the producer then says, goes up to them, the two of them, and is like, Carter just texted me and asked if he should come. And Nikki and Kathy aggressively are like, no, like he is not coming. So they try to call Paris. She's really late. They can't get in touch with her. Her voicemail isn't set up. The boat they have has to leave. It's on like a schedule. So they leave without her. Kathy says she thought the boat ride would be a good opportunity to discuss the guest list and to also talk about the invitation drama. And Nikki's like, she won't send a list. She won't send like anything. She won't commit to anything. It was like a big drama to get her to send like save the dates. Like, so it's like really this whole thing with commitment, like it seems like Paris is like running away or scared of something. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It's like Paris has this fear of like committing to something, or it's like she's got like a fear of decisions. Some of it might be just she has too many options. Like sometimes when the whole world, like you can like have any kind of design or look or anything that you want, it's like there's too much choice, you know? But another part of it might just be she's not really wanting to get married. And that seems to be something that you can tell, like, even her mom, like, Kathy's kind of worried about. Which I think this is where, you know, Kathy is just so different from Paris in that sense. And even, like, from Kyle, who kind of, like, you know, was like, fuck it, I'm gonna, like, marry the guy I love. I'm gonna marry, like, the, like, cute boy that I'm in love with instead of like what big Kathy wanted. Whereas, you know, Kathy did what her mom wanted. She married like the rich guy and got into the Hilton family. And she like did this at age 19, which is so young, right? And, you know, Nikki also kind of followed that. Like she married a Rothschild and it was like low drama and they had fun planning the wedding. And you know, Paris has like been engaged multiple times and like, you know, they're shooting this show and all this stuff. And I think Kathy sees this as a like, no, like you have to go through with this. Like you have to commit and we have to follow through because like it looks bad. And I think Kathy and Paris are just so different. Like Kathy doesn't understand her indecisiveness or her inability to just go with those like conventional norms of like, you get married by this age, then you have babies, then you do this, then you do that. You know, like she just doesn't follow with that. So Kathy kind of talks about how they don't really argue, which, yeah, that's because they don't talk about problems. Nikki, she's talking about Paris and Carter. Yeah, she says they don't really argue. Again, you know, she doesn't really know. Like, she doesn't really know what goes on behind closed doors. And if Paris is anything like Kathy, which, like, she's different from her in a lot of ways, but one thing that they have similar is that, you know, Paris is an avoider. They're both kind of avoiders, and they just avoid different types of things. So Nikki says something seems off with Paris and Carter, that they just seem off. And Kathy's like, well, I think she's just overwhelmed. She's exhausted. And Nikki's like, what? So she doesn't show up? Because Nikki's like really mad that she didn't show up to the boat day. Kathy says, you know, maybe this is part of her not wanting to send out the invitations. Nikki says, you know, no one will give us the invite list. Paris says to call Charlotte. Charlotte says Carter has it. This is where I was a little bit confused, because then earlier she was talking about how she saw the invitation, but maybe she just means that they ordered the invitations and they were printed, or she ordered and decided which one she wanted, but they weren't sent out yet, like to the actual guests. Maybe that's what they mean. I think that's what they mean. Because earlier she definitely was like, then I saw... Wait, if I go back up, she says, yeah, they'd gone to look at invites together. Oh, yeah, Kathy bitches to Nikki about the invite and the color of it being like Jasmine from Aladdin. Okay, so maybe it was just picking it. I think it was just picking it. But it does seem like this is like a big storyline about like Paris like avoiding sending her invitations out. You know, Nikki's like, no one will give us the invite list. Paris says to call Charlotte, and then Charlotte says Carter has it, and it just goes around and around, and Nikki's mad because she like had the boat ride planned for a month and it was all set up, and now they have to go for their fitting and all this other stuff. So the three of them do eventually meet up. Paris says she's had a bunch of stuff to do and she didn't tell them she wasn't coming because she feels overwhelmed. She's making all these decisions about the wedding. They ask, where is the invite list? Where is Carter's list? Paris is like, I don't know, and puts on the baby voice. And Kathy's like, the baby voice is not going to work on me. Like, you can tell Kathy's like, I use that. I know how to get my way, you know? You know, Nikki says she's upset because she booked the boat so they could work on the list. And then, you know, Paris doesn't even call or show up. And then Kathy says, you know, Nikki's wedding was so easy to plan, but Paris is so emotional and so dramatic. You know, and then Paris says she's overwhelmed and she has too much to do. Like, I could see this kind of being like a... There's a lot of comparison. Like, Kathy is often talking about how, like, Nikki is so much easier. It was so low drama. Paris is, like, emotional. Like, I'm kind of wondering, was that going on when they were growing up? Was Kathy doing a lot of comparing? Because it feels like big Kathy was doing a lot of comparison. Hitting the girls against one another, etc. Like, I don't think that Kathy pits the girls against each other. It doesn't seem like that because Paris and Nikki seem to have a really good relationship. But it seems like she's kind of throws these little things, and it's usually in the confessionals. But, you know, Paris is probably going to watch this. Like, I would assume she's going to watch the show back, right? So, like, how's that going to make her feel? So, again, I do think that, like, as much as, you know, this, you know, Kathy is not big Kathy, she inherited some traits because you just, that happens, right? So... Kathy says, all I want is to see your invite list. I want to see both of your lists. What's the big deal? What's the big surprise? Like, Kathy's scared that there's going to be like some big, you know, shock on the list. And then Kathy looks at Charlotte with like a death stare. Honestly, it was scary. So Charlotte, I think Charlotte is Paris's assistant. So she looks at Charlotte and she's like, I want her list. And I want Carter's list. A-S-A-P. And she does like a full pause between each letter, you know, with like the implication that Paris is hiding something. She's like, I want that fucking list. Like, you know, if Kathy was one who swears or if the cameras weren't there, you know, she would have been like, give me that motherfucking list. Like, she was pissed. But it was such a like subdued rich woman piss where you could just see it was all boiling under the surface. I was like, I think Charlotte might need a change of underwear. Like, that was a moment for her. So Paris is like, it's like, it was almost like Kathy put on that tone that moms use with their kids, where it's like their kids are like, oh fuck, mom means business. Cause Paris all of a sudden starts like ruffling through her purse, like she's trying to find something. It's like a kid who's hiding their test. You know, they got like a bad mark on a test and they don't want their mom to see. And Kathy's just like standing there watching her, kind of like, what the fuck? Because like, why do you have so much shit in your bag? But also just like, give me the fucking list. And then Paris pulls out this crinkled ass piece of pink paper, and it's got like black marker and all sorts of random shit written on it. And she starts reading it. And she's like, order cute stuff for table. And Kathy's like, no, you mean like this stuff? And she like points around to like all like Paris's knickknacks. And she's like, you have enough stuff. Listen. And then the creative director of Oscar de la Renta enters and breaks up this very tense moment. It's funny because I think Paris really like distracts herself, you know, by just like consuming dumb things. Like, I do think that's part of like the whole warehouse. And then like, sorry. And then like, she has to go like order something like little knickknacks and stuff like that. Like, I think she kind of uses like, you know, consuming and shopping and stuff to like distract herself from thinking about the hard things that she doesn't want to think about. I think a lot of people do that. You know, people have different vices, but I think that's hers, which I think is why, like, yes, they are rich people and they can buy lots of stuff, but you can tell even like Kathy and Nikki are like, you have so much shit, and it's like random like knickknacks and crap and, you know, filling up storage units. So then when the Oscar de la Renta creative director comes in, Kathy's like, saved by the bell. So so he pulls out a dress for Kathy and she's like obsessed. And Nikki's like, and Nikki asks, she's like, is that too much? And Kathy's like, I'm the mother of Paris Hilton. And I was like, okay. So here we get a little bit of like a, you know, like Kathy is, she's like low key proud or high key. But she's like, you know, I raised this girl who ended up being like a superstar and she's so famous and everybody knows her. And she's like, you know, next level. And I'm the mother of Paris Hilton. Like, you can tell as much as Kathy has like tried to protect, you know, and have that Hilton prim and proper persona, maybe for a long time she tried to do that. I think at the end of the day, she is just like Big Kathy in the sense of like, she wants her daughter to be famous. Like, that was Big Kathy's thing. She wanted her daughters to be famous and to marry rich men. And that's it, you know? So Nikki and Kathy say Paris looks tired. Her eyes look glassy. She says yes to everything, which again, I think everything Paris does, like, constantly buying things, constantly booking things, constantly scheduling herself, constantly doing work. Like, she can't slow down and stop. And I think it's because she's doesn't want to be alone with her thoughts. Paris tries on a wedding dress. She looks absolutely miserable. She's just trying on like the shell. Nikki's like, wow, she looks sad. And like, she's just not even there, which she totally does. Like, she's like watching this scene, she looks like the saddest bride ever. Charlotte appears with the list because Kathy meant business and says Carter seems, and Kathy looks at it and goes, Carter seems to have a big family. And she's like, you know, you won't be able to have that many friends. But overall, she doesn't have like a bad reaction, I would say. So then they go to meet about bridesmaids. And Kathy is concerned that the bridesmaids' dresses are like too sexy. And it's very awkward. Like, Paris seems like she wants to rebel. You know, Kathy wants everything white and cream, but seems to have accepted that there has to be some pink, and that some pink is going to be in there. But she wants it to be like blush and minimal blush. And you can tell Paris wants like way more pink than that. And this is just one of those scenes where Paris is just looking like, she just has that like, you know, I just want to kind of explode for a moment. So they drive by the Waldorf Astoria and they're like, wow, our old house, you know, even though this is a hotel. And they end up going in to look around. And Kathy says, you know, we chose to live at the Waldorf for 9 years. It was a very special time. Paris's face clearly says otherwise. You know, Paris says that she has mixed emotions because she has amazing memories there, but also she has the trauma of the two men who came into her room to take her to the boarding school. So if you haven't watched Paris's documentary or you haven't like watched Paris in Love, basically her parents called this like boarding school that was supposed to help like troubled teens, you know, apparently, but really they didn't do that. And they come to take your kid, like, which is fucked, in like the middle of the night and like take them to this boarding school, which is like, listen, I can understand, you know, a parent maybe like 20 years ago or whatever falling for this ruse of like, oh, we're like a boarding school. We're going to help your behavioral teen and make them better. And then, you know, you drive them there and you take them or you know, whatever. But like to be okay with letting them just come and like come in the middle of the night, like two men, especially into a teenage girl's bedroom. Like that's just all kinds of fucked up. And that's really like, it's really just like making me side eye Kathy Hilton, like a lot. You know, and then Nikki talks about how they would like sneak to the service elevator and they would take it down, run to the ground floor, put like wigs and hoods on and run through the front lobby and avoid the cameras. And yes, they had been spoken to by security and hotel staff. Nikki says she would sneak out to see friends, but Paris would sneak out to go to like raves and run with like a really tough crowd. And then she would come home late or not at all. And her parents were really concerned and they didn't know what to do. Then they say security would catch on, call mom and dad. And Kathy said Waldorf had like great security and that's what they're known for. And I was like, is that their job? Like, this is where I was like a little like, this is aligning with House of Hilton. Because in House of Hilton, they talk about like, basically the Hilton's kids being out of control, running amok at the hotel. And Kathy and Rick treating the hotel staff like babysitters and like it's their job to take care of their kids, which it's not, right? Like, I can just see, like, when I'm at a restaurant or when I used to work in restaurants and there were parents that were, like, letting their kids, like, run wild around the restaurant where, like, they're almost, like, running into you and, like, knocking over a tray and getting their head hit or something. It's like, it's not our job to take care of your kids. It's your job, you know? Like, that is not their security is there to keep the guests secure, not to like babysit these two girls. Yeah. So, you know, they seem to have kind of like mixed emotions about this and they don't seem to have like much, I don't know. They don't seem to have much awareness of the fact that like living at this hotel for 9 years and like treating the security and staff like they have to like take care of you. It doesn't matter that you're from the Hilton family. Like, of course they had to deal with it because of that, but it's just kind of inappropriate and just kind of disrespectful, you know? So it's just funny to me that like they still look at it as this like, oh, remember when we lived here? Like even the guy in from the Waldorf, like in this scene, he's like laughing and like, oh my God, they did that and da da da. But you could tell inside he's like, oh, these fucking spoiled rich people, like 100%, 100% he's thinking that. So that kind of brings me to a little pause for Paris in Love, because we got to kind of rewind back to House of Hilton now, because this whole walk down memory lane and them going to the Waldorf, it is really the focus of chapter one of House of Hilton, which I did not cover in my initial, like in my initial Richard Sisters deep dives where I just talked about House of Hilton. I did not talk about this chapter because this chapter is not really about Big Kathy and the way that she raised her three daughters. This first chapter, they start the book out with a focus on Kathy Hilton and her raising Paris and Nikki and their time at the Waldorf. So I pulled out some passages that I think are interesting to talk about. So basically, they start with just kind of talking about how, you know, Kathleen Elizabeth Avanzino Richards Hilton, who married into the Hilton Hotel family, was often out and about with little time on her hands for mothering. She was cavalier about leaving her firstborn with the hired help or with relatives. The Hilton men, and I'm skipping parts, I'm just kind of reading what I highlighted, but the Hilton men from Conrad on down were known for taking youngins for their brides, which, I mean, it does make sense because Kathy, you know, she was young when she married into the Hilton family. And I do think Rick is older than her. Okay, so I just Googled it. He was 24 and she was 20. So that's not really like a big difference. I don't know if they were referring to other people, but, you know, 20 is young to get married. Yes. But I mean, at that time, like, it wasn't crazy. Like, a lot of people got married when they were 20. Like, I think my parents got married around that time. And, you know, it wasn't like a crazy thing. Certainly, I think a lot of the people who did get married during that time, once they got older, you know, were maybe like, oh, like, what did I do? Or might have changed their mind about things or whatever. But at the end of the day, you know, it was a thing. Okay. So at this part of the book, a lot of the information that's coming is coming from Patricia Skipworth Hilton, who was the first wife of Conrad Hilton's third son, Eric. Okay. So the first wife of Eric, who's Conrad Hilton's third son. Okay. So she married into the Hilton family in her late teens. Okay, so there she is. There's the young age they're talking about, right? So in her late teens, you know, so she was part of the family for a period of time. And they do have some quotes and excerpts from her in the book. So while recalling on her times of meeting Kathy Hilton, one thing she says is that she met Kathy when Paris was 9 months old, and she called Paris, you know, she noticed that Paris was called Star as a nickname, as we, you know, we see in Paris in Love. I can't remember if that came up already or if that's later in the documentary series, but it does come up that she calls her Star. And, you know, she, according to Pat, again, this is according to Pat, you know, we're taking everything with a grain of salt because this is someone's perspective and what they said. This does not mean everything's 100% fact. So basically, Pat says that the first time meeting her and meeting Paris, Kathy pretty much was like, hey, you know, I need to go out. Kind of, can you take care of her? And basically, like, took off for the whole day. And that Pat was really pissed off, and that Pat vented to Marilyn, who's Marilyn again? Okay, I lost track of my people, but she vented basically and said, and Marilyn said, well, I guess you're it for the day. Kathy does this all the time. She just wants to go out and she knew you'd take care of the kid. So according to Pat, Kathy Hilton was very selfish, very spoiled, and very self-centered, and that absolutely carries through to Paris. And that as a mom, she's just, you know, she kind of just left her and was like, she didn't leave any instructions on what time Paris had to be fed. There were no diapers. She just kind of left her in the lurch, and she basically took off to go partying all night. And, you know, that's the tale. So again, we don't know if that's 100% true. But, you know, we get this picture that's painted that's very like a lack of discipline. We also get the impression from this first chapter that, you know, Kathy and Rick really like to party. Now, this is something that I've heard before, like from other things. I can't even remember where, but I've definitely heard this before, that he was, I think it was more about him, like he was like kind of, you know, one of the Hilton sons that was taken the least seriously by his father, like in terms of like who he was as a businessman and stuff like that. And he was kind of like the biggest like goof off of them all, or maybe seen as like the least intelligent of the children, like of his generation, and that him and Kathy were sort of like, you know, regarded as such. Okay. So they weren't, you know, they were like going to be comfortable and have money and privilege and all that, but like they weren't going to be, you know, in charge of the whatever of the, you know, the estate and the, well, maybe the estate's not the best thing to say, but the, like the Hilton name and the company and stuff like that. Like they were kind of just seen as like, okay, we just got to sort of just give them a little something so they can feel like they're important. And that's about it. So they also say that, you know, Kathy kind of had no qualms about flaunting the Hilton name. She would take advantage of it. So she would flash that to the hotel executives or people working at the Waldorf and would say things like, oh, you know, Rick is going to be the next like Mr. Hilton. So they were afraid to argue with her. However, apparently none of Baron, so I guess Baron is Rick's dad, none of his kids were getting like a free ride. And the only person who kind of took advantage, I guess, of the Hilton name, according to Pat, was Kathy. And basically, Kathy and Rick, according, again, everything's according to this book, everything's allegedly, nothing is 100% fact. Kathy and Rick were prone to show up out of the blue without reservations at a Hilton hotel on a busy weekend, demand the best suite in the house, fine wine and food, and babysitting for Paris. So that was something, again, you know, I do, like I said, I do take this stuff with a grain of salt, but then we have Kathy on Paris in Love and her kids talking about how they lived at the Waldorf for all this time. And like talking like this was our home and all the stuff they used to do to like evade security. And like, it just sounds like they were a pain in the ass. It just really does. A former Hilton hotel manager recalls a time, and this is a direct quote. He says, I go up to the suite the Hiltons were using and there's dog shit and dog piss all over the place. I mean, everywhere. They didn't walk their dogs for the entire weekend. It was a real nightmare. We ended up having housekeeping do a detailed deep cleaning. After all that, I never heard a word from Rick or Kathy Hilton. Never got a thank you, nothing. But that's where their mindset is. They act like the imperial court. So the Hiltons, including Paris and her sister Nikki, quickly earned a reputation at the Sin City Hilton for arrogance, threats, and intimidation, according to a number of present and former employees. And then they name some of them, some of the employees as well. And Paris and Nikki were often seen to be like running around loose in the hotel. They were always in trouble. And according to this quote, the mother always seemed to be coaching them. So earlier they say that Kathy and Rick and the girls looked down their noses at the help and seemed like very judgmental. So I think that's what they mean. So it seemed like Kathy was kind of coaching them on being judgmental. So this was obviously when the girls were a little bit older. And I mean, it's not like this is all just only from House of Hilton, because, you know, some of this stuff made it into publications like back in the day when this was all actually happening. So example, I might brutalize this last name, but I'm going to try. So first name Tacky, last name Theodorakopoulos, who was somebody who was like a controversial figure who wrote the High Life column for Britain's Spectator magazine, declared in a column that Kathy and Rick are straight out of the Beverly Hillbillies. They eat hamburgers covered with ketchup washed down with Chateau Latour. He called Rick a hick, as thick as they come, and also proclaimed that neither Rick nor Kathy would ever win the Parenting of the Year award. And again, you know, that's his opinion, and he's obviously a controversial writer for a reason. Kathy and Rick also were among former CBS newsman Bernard Goldberg's 2005 diatribe, 100 people who are screwing up America for raising the most vapid twerp maybe in the world. Wow. Okay. So, I mean, that's pretty harsh. I mean, nowadays, I don't think you could get away with even saying that about someone, especially like their children, because it would be like, well, these are children you're talking about. you know, you can't like call them a twerp and you can't like the kids are innocent. It's the parents' fault, etc. But I mean, I guess it's like raising. No, but then they say vapid twerp. And I'm assuming that's speaking about Harris or Nikki. I mean, it's 2005. So who else could it be? Or I guess it could be one of the boys. Like, I guess it could be Baron, because, yeah, I've heard some stuff about him, too. Okay, so then the other thing is they also have some quotes from Ginny Tangalakis. Now, she was the mother of one of Nikki Hilton's childhood friends, Diana, and she also coincidentally actually worked as a secretary in Conrad Hilton's offices. So they have some quotes from her as well. So some things that she says... Well, what I highlighted as the most important was about Kathy, where she says that she wanted her girls to be in the limelight, and she certainly accomplished that. I mean, listen, it seems like very like mother, like daughter, like, you know, big Kathy wanted her daughters to be in the limelight or at least marry rich men. You know, Kathy didn't really fulfill the marrying a rich, I mean, sorry, the limelight part. So she did the marrying a rich man. And, you know, they talk about how she wanted to be a singer. She has such a beautiful voice. And it's like she put all that on hold. And, you know, so she could like take this chance, marry this wealthy family. And then it's like, okay, next best thing, I'm going to make my daughter a star. You know, my mom's granddaughter. Like, it's still this bid to make big Kathy proud, right? Like, it still comes back to... We need to please Big Kathy. We need to fulfill Big Kathy's dreams. And I'm not saying that little Kathy, Kathy Hilton, doesn't also legitimately have those dreams, because she probably really believes that that's what she wants too. I mean, look at like, you know, I don't know if I went over this part. No, I did. When she's talking about like what dress she's going to wear to Paris's wedding, like Kathy's like, well, I'm Paris Hilton's mother. You know, like I think she takes some pride in all of that. Like she really does. So now this next part I think is the most interesting part. And I didn't think it was when I initially read this book, but now after watching Paris in Love and knowing what happened to Paris at that boarding school and all that, this is much more, this is way crazier than I imagined when I initially read it. So House of Hilton's written in 2006. So at this point, Paris has not come out to speak about Provo, the boarding school, the abuse that she went by, you know, where she was, just none of it. None of it's been spoken of at that point yet. Okay, so in here they say, by the time Paris was in her mid-teens and becoming the reigning princess of the gossip firmament, she suddenly vanished from New York, where her family was ensconced in a 13th floor penthouse at the exclusive Waldorf Towers. The Towers is a residential arm of the Waldorf Astoria, one of the world's grand dames of hotels. Okay, so there is a residential arm to it, so I guess that makes it a little better, but I think what doesn't make it better is that it's a residential arm, so there's still the hotel part, and they were still... Like, it seems like tormenting the staff, like from everything you read in this part of the book. No one seems to have a positive memory of it, you know, in terms of like the way that they acted, the things that Kathy and her husband expected of them, all that kind of stuff. So we'll get into that. But okay. So Paris Hilton's making lots of headlines at this time, you know, and all of a sudden she had this like disappearance. Okay, so at the time of her disappearance, Paris, who bounced from school to school because of her grades or behavior or both, was attending a hoity-toity private academy on Central Park West, called the Dwight School. While the Dwight School, founded in 1872, boasted that its mission was to develop each student's unique capabilities by integrating mind, body, and spirit, rich kid detractors from other fancy schools joked that Dwight was an acronym for dumb white idiots getting high together. So I guess it was kind of seen as like, you know, if your rich privileged kid can't figure it out at any other private school, this is where you go and pay for them to get, you know, a diploma or whatever, right? But then people started like asking questions like, where's Paris, about her like curious disappearance. You know, Kathy Hilton had an explanation, and she said, Well, you know what? She never got friendly with anyone at Dwight, and Paris had a 3.8 average. She's very, very smart. We left the school because we had a stalker. It was the most frightening thing I've ever gone through, she explained in Vanity Fair. So these are direct quotes from Kathy Hilton. It had, you know, a full page photo of Paris striking a pose, you know, wearing like, according to this, a crotch-bearing mini and a see-through mesh top. and then Kathy continues, it was so scary. We pretended that we went here and there. We said, oh, she went off there. And the truth is, we spent some time in London at the London Hilton. We brought the tutor with us. So Kathy maintained that Paris graduated from high school with homeschooling. However, Kathy Hilton's, you know, explanation of these circumstances differed substantially from the way that the Waldorf Astoria management insiders remember it. So they have a completely different memory of it, which makes sense because now we know that that is a lie. And see, that's why I do, like, you know, I know there's some people who, and I've gotten like comments and emails and stuff about this, like some people who are really like question, you know, how much of this book is true? How do we know like what to believe, what not to believe? Some people like are like, I don't believe any of it. You know, anyone can say anything. Other people like believe everything in it. I'm kind of in the middle. But, you know, there has some things have to be true, or there has to be at least some truth, because the timelines and the incidences and the stories like this one, those are actually adding up with things that are coming now straight from the horse's mouth, right? So, you know, we can't completely like write off everything as just like, oh, pissed off family members or ex-employees that are salty. Like, I can't just write everything off that easily. Again, I don't think everything is 100% fact, because you're hearing people's perspectives, and people's perspectives are always going to be like slightly biased towards either their memory, their feelings about the person, their interpretation of the situation. But there, you know, some facts are going to seep through. So Neil Schwartz, no relation to Tom Schwartz that we know of, his family ran the valet concession for decades at the Waldorf. And he basically says that the story about the stalker is bullshit. And again, this was written in 2006. They didn't know, you know, Paris had not told anybody or told the public about what happened. But he, you know, scoffs at the story and says it sounds like something the Hilton spin machine would put out, he maintains. So, you know, apparently when she took off at this time, you know, she had like the wild child reputation. And he says that if there was some sort of stalker or something like that, he would have known, because there would have been increased security, et cetera. And there was none of that. So it's funny, though, because in the book, they assume that where Paris really was with Big Kathy. So they say, you know, they say whatever the reason was for Paris's disappearance, it remains clear that she was with Big Kathy, because Big Kathy was, you know, the driven, ambitious stage mother from hell, and she could like straighten out the wild child. Now, again, I don't know if there was a period of time where Paris stayed with Big Kathy. Who knows? Maybe there was. But, you know, apparently Big Kathy adored Paris and called her my Marilyn Monroe and pledged that one day she would be famous. So, I mean, you know, she's got her grandmother and her mom putting all this on her. But yeah, you know, she was just an adolescent and Big Kathy was like trying to get her into modeling. So, you know, they were just at a very young age, they're pulling strings, they're doing things like that, telling her how beautiful she is, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, again, it's like, why do you think this girl kind of went out of control, right? It's like all this pressure, all these adults around you, you know, letting you, from what I've seen, get away with murder in terms of like your behavior as a child. Like, it's just really no wonder that she turned out just with so many issues, and that, you know, her and her mom's relationship is so strained, as we're seeing, right? So the other thing they do mention, okay, in this first chapter, there's one sentence about the Utah school. Okay, so there is, I guess, some knowledge about it, but it's very, like, it's literally one sentence. So they say Paris also attended professional children's school in Manhattan and spent some time at a school for troubled kids in Utah that featured behavior modification therapy. That's it. So there's nothing else. So, you know, you can kind of see that Kathy, like, she did a really good job. Her and Rick and whoever, like, they did a very good job of burying this and hiding it. Because here we have this book with, you know, all these interviews with, like, hotel staff, former employees, you know, family members, relatives, ex-husbands, and no real mention of Provo and what happened. And then even this chunk of time that she, you know, disappeared and everyone's just kind of guessing, when we know, like, it wasn't just a little bit of time that she spent at that school. It was a long time. You know, it seemed pretty significant in, like, shaping who she is, you know, so it's very interesting that, you know, even they evaded even, like, the author of this book, right? And they couldn't get, or they managed to hide that information. So, you know, Big Kathy apparently had some serious concerns about Paris's behavior. But she was also really proud of how Paris was growing, like, more and more famous. You know, and it was in a Beverly Hills condo owned by Big Kathy where Paris struck the sexy pose for the Vanity Fair article in which Kathy told the stalker story. So this is like a whole family machine. You've got Paris posing, doing her, like, sexy pose. You've got it in, you know, Big Kathy there in her Beverly Hills condo. And then they're interviewing little Kathy and Kathy's like, oh, she disappeared because she had a stalker. Like, it is just all a big fucked up circle of lies and cover up and denial. Meanwhile, you've got, like, a teenage girl, or, like, a girl, you know, barely an adult. Well, I don't know exactly how old she was during this Vanity Fair, you know, taking these, like, salacious photos to try and, like, up her fame level, because that's what grandma and mom, who are breathing down her neck, want. So, okay. So then they have a quote from Linda McCusker, a friend from her high school days, who said Paris really isn't like that. So what she means is, like, she's not, like, a poster child for exhibitionism. She really was just, like, your sweet average girl next door. And apparently years later, like, after becoming famous, Paris really attributed her success and the reason that she was able to get famous to her grandma, to Big Kathy. Meanwhile, Big Kathy blames little Kathy, Kathy Hilton, for Paris's bad girl behavior, and had kind of no problem saying it, because according to Michelle Catane is, I have it here, the daughter of Paris's grandmother's third husband, Jack Catane. Okay. Sorry, I know that's a lot, but I don't want to get too into it because this is not, like, a House of Hilton recap. I go into who all those people are on the Richard Sisters, like, part one and two. You can go back and listen to that. But according to Catane, Big Kathy said that Kathy Hilton, little Kathy, never paid attention to the kids, Paris and Nikki, until they started to become famous. And that's because she had her own agenda and because she's a very self-centered, selfish lady, just interested in how much higher she could climb. Big Kathy always said Kathy's the worst mom. Wow. I mean, I don't know how much weight that holds coming from Big Kathy, who doesn't seem like she was the best mom. Like, what is her opinion about what a good mom is? I don't know. It seems like Kathy Hilton she emulated Big Kathy the most in terms of the way she mothers, like, based on what I can see in the book and just from, like, observing the three of them, you know, on TV, etc. And, you know, if we're going to take what the book says as true in this first chapter, or at least portions of it, it does seem like, you know, Kathy had the more, like, focus on, like, you know, the husband, partying, having fun, maybe a little bit more, lackadaisical when it came to like rules and stuff like that, or like just kind of just like laziness about parenting. So like, oh, let the hotel staff deal with it. Let the security deal with Paris and Nikki, like things like that, which obviously did not go well in the long run. And I think then she kind of realized like, oh shit, I've completely lost control of Paris, and hence the boarding school thing. So you have that. And then of course the two kids are seeing, you know, the way that Kathy's kind of like entitled and like expects things because of the Hilton name. So they're becoming bratty because of that. Like, it's just like a trickle down effect. But in that way, like, she's more Big Kathy-ish, right? Because Big Kathy, it seems like she was raised, if you remember from, you know, her childhood chapters that I went over in the first parts, Big Kathy was raised with very little rules. Like, she could kind of do what she wanted, and she was almost like begging for discipline, right? And it seems like Big Kathy, like, I remember Kyle in some episodes like saying like, yeah, like my mom was like really loose. Like, we didn't have any rules. Like, we were at like Studio 54 when I was 11 years old, like just like crazy shit like that. She's like, I remember seeing this person at the club and there was Coke on the table. Like, it was just like craziness, right? Like, it just seems like Big Kathy was like, as long as these girls are famous and bringing in cash, I really don't give a fuck. And I think Kathy kind of emulated that, like I just said, sorry to repeat myself, but then maybe saw that that was a mistake kind of too late. And it seems like maybe Kim and Kyle sort of went the opposite way, which that does happen. Like, when you have a dysfunctional parent, sometimes you have the kids that become just like them and the cycle continues, or you have the ones that go like too extreme the other way. Like, they might be like too strict, or they might be like, you know, like, I think in some ways, like Kyle and Kim, like their entire lives revolve around their kids. Like, maybe they didn't have enough, like when their kids were growing up, they didn't have enough, you know, thinking about themselves and how fulfilled they were. It was just like kids, kids, kids. You know, maybe that's how Kyle was able to ignore cheating for so long. Maybe that's how Kim was able to kind of distract herself, well, that and the addiction, but able to distract herself from a lot of the things that she didn't want to think about, that she was trying to run from, you know. I could just see that, you know. And I think Kyle and Kim, when it comes to mothering, it seems like maybe they went down a better path in some ways. I mean, again, I can't really speak to that when it comes to Kim, because we don't really see a lot of Kim's momming on the show, because at this point it's like, she's, you know, she's so like, when she's on Beverly Hills, she's so deep into like the addiction. It's like, I don't know. It's like, she's being mothered by everyone, or she's needing it, right? But it's just kind of crazy how they all like reacted, and the way that they parent just comes right off of Big Kathy, and you can just see it. So I really think that, you know, you kind of see Kathy, like little Kathy, she really kind of screwed herself for any sort of relationship with Paris, because she didn't do what you got to do when they're young in terms of like, you know, do the hard work, be the parent. Then things spun out of control. Then in trying to get back control, it ended up, you know, in this unfortunate situation where Paris was abused, etc. And then from there, you know, then Paris is like even more mad at her parents, right? And then on top of that, because Kathy doesn't like to talk about anything, it's taken this many years for them to ever talk and resolve it. Like, Paris is like in her 30s. Like, it's really kind of sad when you think about it like that. Like, what a waste of time. What a waste of a relationship. You know, it's like, you think these people who have so much money and everything you could want in the world, but they don't have some of the simplest, most important things. I sound like an after school special right now, but it's real. Okay, so let's get back to Paris and love. So I did sidetrack, but like I said, I meant to. So where we left off is, oh yeah, they were talking about the Waldorf and talking about how they had great security and, you know, watching Nikki and Paris, and Kathy's like, oh, but you guys had such great security. And I was kind of questioning like, is that their job? So, okay. So then we get to talking about the bridesmaids' dresses. Nikki asks Paris if she has sent Stacy, the Pantone colors of the bridesmaid dresses. And she says, no. Nikki's like, well, it takes like 6 to 8 weeks. Like, what are you doing? Then Kathy asks if the invites are ready. Harris just stares at her and Nikki answers and is like, or Nikki asks as well. Again, she doesn't answer. And then Nikki's like, you're never going to get an answer to Kathy. And then Kathy leans in and says, we were going to go to the place and find invitations you absolutely love. And we were going to guide you. We said we would do it together. It's my checkbook. I'm paying for this. And no one has the decency to send anything to me. So then Kathy says in the confessional that, you know, the invite for the wedding really sets the tone for like the whole vibe of the event. And then, you know, Kathy called Mindy, who said it's already been done. And Kathy said, you know, she didn't get it for approval. So she was pissed about that. So again, it's like, you know, it's like Paris is purposefully, like, I really think, even though she knows what her mom wants, like, how can you not? Like, Kathy is clear as day about how involved she wants to be, what she wants to be in charge of. Like, I think that Paris is, she's scared of her mom, but she also is like low key still rebelling because I think she's still pissed off at her mom. Like, I think she's still like, fuck you. You sent me to that place. You know, even after I came back, you're like lying in magazines about it, you know, making me look like I'm the asshole, like all, like I can understand. And you won't even come and watch my fucking documentary, right? Okay, so Nikki chimes in and says she likes them about the invitations that Paris wants to get. And Kathy's like, I'm sure you just said, yeah, I like that. And she says it in like exactly like I just said it, like in like a mocking baby voice tone. Like just, it's kind of funny. Like they are a mother daughter, but in some, they have those moments where they're kind of like, it's almost like a sister-ish relationship because Kathy is like, she can be a little, I don't know. She's a little bit stunted. Like she's a little bit teenagerish, even the way like her and Kim and Kyle are, it's very like teenage sister type of relationship. It's like, they almost like never got a chance to grow up further than that in some ways, not in all ways, but in some ways. So Kathy asked like who did the design for the invitations. Paris said, you know, she took a million photos, then she picked her favorites, sent them in their wedding planning group chat that I guess includes her, Carter, and Allie. And then Kathy replies and says, I knew that wasn't you. Because he's got those octopus mitts in everything. Dad and I are paying for this, not Hallie and not Carter. Allie, sorry, not Hallie. And then Paris goes and just like throws Carter under the bus and is like, he went ahead and just like paid for them and ordered them. Basically, Kathy's like, Carter needs to stay in his lane. I'm heated up. You didn't ask. And Carter got his big mug in the picture. You know, it's a little shocking. I would never do that to somebody. You've gone ahead and done this invitation. So go ahead, send out what you want. If that's what you want, I just want you to let him know to stay away from Thursday night. I will not put my nose into the carnival or the Saturday night dinner. Just show up. Okay. So I guess the Thursday night is sort of like a rehearsal dinner that like Kathy, like the parents are more in charge of. And then Paris is like, do you like hate him now? And Kathy's like, no, I hate that word, which is ironic because she just said it. But anyways, she's like, it's just a lot of money I'm paying. Like she definitely holds the money thing over Paris's head. Although, I mean, I could be totally wrong. I feel like Paris could afford her own wedding, to be frank. But she does mention like how the reason that she works so much and constantly is because she wants to make so much money that she doesn't need even like a dime from her family, which I'm assuming she means her parents. Like, I think she wants to feel like she's not indebted to them. So then she can do whatever she wants without worrying about like this situation that we're seeing right now. It's hard for me to believe that she doesn't already have that because it seems like Carter comes from, you know, I'm not saying he's like Hilton level, but he's not like lower class or lower middle class or any, like he's clearly comes from, you know, money of some kind. Anyway, so it's like, okay, why can't you afford this? Or maybe she feels like once I get the wedding and the kind of like family-ish stuff out of the way, events like a wedding, right, then I can sort of try and like make enough money so I can maintain this same exact lifestyle without needing like anything from them. Maybe, again, I don't know that for sure, but she does pretty much say like, I want to make my own money so that I can be completely independent. And that's kind of how I took it. So Paris says she just feels like she's not herself. She's not sure this is the right choice. So this is where she kind of has like a little bit of a breakdown, because she's, you know, she's has like the wedding jitters or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it seems like she doesn't really want to get married, if I'm going to be honest with you. I really get the impression like the whole time that she's getting married just because she feels like she's a loser if she doesn't. Like she kind of has the viewpoint of like, everyone else got married, everyone else is having babies, everyone else is, but she doesn't seem like she's that into it. It almost seems like she's doing it just because like that's what you're supposed to do, and because maybe like to shut people up, like, look, I can make a relationship work, I can be a mom, like I'm not like the fucked up party girl, but even though I still kind of am partying all, like, I don't know. We'll get more into that with season two, where she's like trying to be a mom, but like not. I don't know how to explain it. You'll see what I mean later. I'm not mom shaming, trust me, because I'm a mom who works a lot, okay? So you can tell Paris is like, I don't know. You could tell she's just scared of marriage. Like she's totally scared of that. And maybe she does love him and she's happy now. I don't fucking know. But anyways, this isn't about her. This is supposed to be about Kathy. Kathy does look shocked, but then she's like, you know, it's a normal feeling to have. And then Paris cries and said she, you know, she feels bad because he's her best friend. And, you know, they comfort her. And Kathy says, I don't ever want you to feel pressured. I just don't want you to be alone forever. Okay, so that was pressure, Kathy. Like that was really, that was like the backhanded sort of like, well, okay, you don't have to get married, but you know, you are going to die alone. So there's that. And you'll be the only weirdo loser in the family who never got married. Like that is legit. You could totally sense that in her tone too. Kathy is overall supportive in this scene. Okay, I will say that. She says, forget the media, you know, don't jump into anything. Forget about the pressure and what everyone else is doing. You know, and Paris does say, like I predicted, she does say like, everybody else got married, everyone else is like, you know, happy, you know, you and dad, Nikki and her husband, like she does a lot of comparing to other family members. So clearly that's something that matters, right? Like there is this, like, we all have to have this kind of, I don't know, we have to have this image, right? And we have to do the life stages, which, listen, you don't have to be a rich person to fall into that. Plenty of people, no matter what socioeconomic status, go through that and get married. Trust me, there's plenty of people out there who get married just because they're like, I'm 30, I'm supposed to be married, or whatever the case is, right? Kathy says, you know, it kills her when Paris is upset like this. And she says, you know, don't get married for anybody else. That would be weak. You do this for you. You don't do this for her, me, or anybody. Which, again, sounds nice. Like, sounds empowering on the surface, but it's also kind of like, I just don't know if Kathy would be saying that behind closed doors if there wasn't a camera on. Like, I'm feeling like she wouldn't. Or, like, she would be like, if you don't love this guy, it's fine. I'm still, you know, your mom or whatever, but are, you know, you sure you want to call this off? Because he seems pretty good, and are you gonna find, like, whatever the case is, like, clearly she could call it off. She's called off engagements before, but anyways, and they have lots of money, so like whatever they've spent on the wedding, it's not as big of a deal as it would be for somebody who doesn't have like millions of dollars. So Paris says, it's what you're supposed to do, right? So, you know, she clearly feels that. And Kathy says no. And she says, and no matter what, you know, you will have a family one day. So it seems like some of it is wrapped up in like having kids, because, you know, I guess she's like the only kind of daughter at her age who hasn't had kids yet in the family. So there's all of that, right? Like Nikki's had her kids. I'm just thinking of like her cousins and stuff, you know, they're all going down. Like you've got like Kathy, Kim and Kyle are very like into, like they're into fame, but they're also into like being moms and having that kind of like traditional family, even though Kim got divorced or whatever, like at least doing it. And I mean, like, look at Kathy and Kim, like they have a lot of kids, right? Like, or sorry, Kim and Kyle, they have a lot of kids, right? So, you know, they talk with Paris. They say it's normal to have freakouts. Nikki says, you know, the closer you get to the wedding, like it gets even more stressful, basically. And Kathy's like, I know. Because then Kathy and Nikki are talking about this, like without Paris around. And Kathy says, I know. I remember I told off Nikki's mother-in-law and they all laugh. And I was like, oh, Jesus. I would love to hear more about that. See, this is the thing. It's like Kathy tries to like play it a certain way, but you know that when push comes to shove and Kathy needs to get her way and she's the mother of the bride, like she's telling off like the Rothschild mother, even though, you know what I mean? Even though like status wise, they're like probably a much higher status, I think, from what I've heard. Well, they definitely are. But I mean, again, it doesn't matter to Kathy, because Kathy is like in her own head, she's huge, you know. So then we have a Kyle appearance. So Kyle comes, she comes over to Kathy's for lunch, and Kathy tells Kyle about how Paris had her like kind of meltdown. You know, Kyle's like, oh, it's normal. And she's like, you know, don't you think Paris is like a little girl in an adult's body and it's already a lot of pressure? Which I thought that was pretty, you know, astute for Kyle, because I agree, you know, Paris is like a little girl in an adult body. That's why it's kind of weird watching her do this stuff. Kyle asks, you know, what would mom have said? And Kathy says, mom would have said, you better think twice, which I wasn't clear if they meant she should think twice about calling it off or think twice about marrying this guy. That's what I was wondering. I'm like, I feel like Big Kathy would be like, if Big Kathy liked the guy and was like, okay, he's got good money and status, like think twice, don't call it off. But then on the other side, Big Kathy might have seen Paris's success and been like, you know, you could do better. I don't know. So I don't really know what she meant by that. And they did not expand on it. Kyle asks about if Paris knows how much money they're spending. You know, kind of like as a like, you know, it's a lot of pressure, like how much money you guys are spending on this. And then Kathy kind of is like, she's fine now. She's fine. So Kathy will always only go so far with Kyle on camera. Kyle's the same way, though. She does that with Kim. She'll only go so far. I mean, they all are. But I just noticed it on the most recent season of Beverly Hills, because Kim was being very open about their mom and the way that they were raised and stuff in that like kitchen scene from the most recent season. If you remember that, I can't remember all the details of it, but I just remember that Kyle later in an interview said like, you know, I wouldn't have shared that much basically. So sometimes they kind of, it's funny because sometimes they cut each other off at the knees in terms of like, this is how much we're going to share right now. And sometimes like, they'll start being open with each other and then one of them doesn't like it because it maybe goes somewhere where they're uncomfortable with, and they'll be like, she's fine. Like just how Kathy did now. And you could tell like, you know, Kathy's kind of in charge of that. Like even that scene when Kyle was getting all upset with Kathy from a couple seasons ago because of the whole Lisa Rinna thing, and Kathy looked at her and was like, Kyle, like, you know, like she gives her the look, quote unquote, which I'm sure is a look that they're all very familiar with. Okay, so Kathy says she's going to be seeing a therapist, even though she's, you know, not used to that. And she's like, you know, my family didn't do that. And Kyle's like, yeah, you know, it's smart. We never saw a therapist, but we just had family meetings. And Kathy's like, right, But again, like Good Little Richard's girls, they do not extend on that. I'm sure family meetings were like, shut your mouths. Here's what you talk about. Here's what you don't. The one consistent thing that all three of these sisters constantly says that was like a key message from their mom was, you do not air out the family's dirty laundry. You deal with family stuff privately on your own, and you do not talk about it in front of other people. You don't make it public. That is the one consistent messaging that we have always heard, right? And I guarantee you that was the quote unquote family meeting topic. especially maybe as they got older and more fame started happening. Okay, so Kim enters, gives Kathy a big hug and a kiss. Nothing for Kyle, but they seem fine. I just noticed that. You know, there's always some weirdness between Kyle and one of her two sisters. So they call Paris, and Kathy suggests they use the driveway as the place that Paris can like walk up. So I guess as like her sort of like walking, I don't know, down the aisle, or like to be first seen, I think. And I think that's what they meant. And this is not a driveway like we have. It's not like a paved black two-car driveway, okay? It's luxurious, but still. And then Kyle's like, well, that's steep and long. And Kathy's like, she doesn't care, which maybe she does. And then Kathy says, you know, it could be your aisle. And Kyle's like, well, that's like a mile long. And then Kim chimes in and says, you know, Paris, people like to see the father and the daughter walk. It'll be so touching and beautiful. And then she gets choked up and Paris is like, aw, and like kind of seems into it after Kim talks about it. But then Kyle jumps in and says, Paris, where do you see yourself walking down? And Paris is like, not the driveway, because the whole point is seeing like the gorgeous house in the background. And then Kyle says, remember where I took my wedding photos and you were my bridesmaid? Because of course, Kyle has to chime in and somehow bring herself up and also remind the audience that Paris Hilton's her niece and was her bridesmaid and they're so close. And oh my God, sorry, that's just real though. And you know, the whole backdrop was from Brooklawn, and Paris is like, oh yeah, because clearly Paris doesn't remember or didn't. And then they start joking about how she could like fly down from the balcony and all this stuff. But one thing I thought was kind of interesting about this part was that it's funny because Kim and Kathy are just always on the same page. They just, much more often, they have each other's back. Like even when it comes to the kids, and I'm not saying that they're necessarily right, because in this situation, I think Kyle's right, because I think Paris is the bride. And she should be deciding what the aisle is going to be and where she's going to walk down. And she should be getting to envision what she wants. But then on the other side, I can understand why Kathy and Kim get irked with Kyle sometimes, because they're like, we don't always need you to come in and play devil's advocate when we're having a disagreement with one of our daughters. Because Kyle does that on Beverly Hills too. Like there's some times where Kim and her daughter might be having a disagreement, and it seems like Kyle kind of always takes her niece's side. And it's like, are you trying to be like a friend, right? And again, sometimes in the situation, like I see Kyle's perspective. And I think like as a mom, I might be more of a Kyle mom, because I guess I would probably, like I'd ask my daughter, what do you want the backdrop to be? So fine. However, I also will say that if it was my sister and her kid and they were in this, I would try to stay at least more neutral, maybe, which I think Kyle thought she was being neutral, to be fair. She did think she was being neutral, but you could tell that like Kathy and Kim are more in sync in that way. And maybe that's why Kyle's a little kind of left out or has more arguments with them. So, you know, because it's funny because she's like, you know, Paris is like kind of getting into the idea when Kim gets all choked up. But then because Kyle chimes in, Paris is like, no, I don't want the driveway. Like, it's almost like she like gets knocked out of it. I just thought that was interesting. And I mean, Kathy and Kim, like, they don't seem annoyed with Kyle in this scene at all, but I wonder if deep down Kathy's kind of like, you know, I had an idea. I almost had my daughter convinced of it, and then you had to jump in. Whereas, like, Kim jumped in and kind of helped me with it. Or it could also just be the simple acknowledgement of, like, my sister sees why this could be a good idea and sees the positive in it, my one sister. And then my other sister has to come in with the negative of it, that it's steep and long, whereas Kim sees it and sees it as a beautiful, lengthy moment of the father and bride where everyone gets to take it in, right? Like, it's, and I could see Kathy kind of seeing Kyle's reaction as the more like contrarian slash less supportive slash maybe seeing the negative, always having to play devil's advocate, which again, I do not think that that is Kyle's intention. Okay. But I could see that Kathy would think that, or that Kathy would just be annoyed. Cause I just think that's how sisters are. That's how they like, why do you always have to fucking do that? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way that sisters would talk to each other and think like that. And then Kyle would be like, why do you always have to think that my intentions are bad or that I'm trying to undermine you when really I'm just trying to help my niece? You know what I mean? Like, she would just have, and again, I'm not saying that's not true. I'm not saying anyone's like right or wrong in this situation. Anyways, that's such a small thing that I just talked for like 10 minutes about. Okay. So coming up, they kind of like, as we come towards the end of the season, it goes into a lot of therapy. So for the next episode, I'm going to be talking about Kathy finally sees a therapist, and then Kathy and Paris see a therapist together. They also do this like horse therapy thing. And then they, you know, we have Paris's bachelorette and then the wedding. And there's definitely quite a bit more very interesting interactions between Kathy and Paris, especially in the next episode. I'm going to be going over how Kathy deals with the documentary. So she sees the documentary. She does end up watching it. I'll say that. Spoiler alert, if you're not actually watching Paris in Love, but she does see the documentary and just like the way she handles them going to Washington and, you know, talking to the government about it, about like changing the laws around these schools and all that kind of stuff. It's very interesting. And it's definitely a different like side of Kathy. So it's going to be, if you are watching Paris in Love, like in between these, it's going to be next week episodes. So season one, episodes 8, I did some of episode 8. I'll be finishing episode 8. So it'll be episode 8 till the end of season 1, basically. I didn't get through as much of Paris in Love season 1 this episode because we did kind of the sidetrack for House of Hilton. But we will definitely finish season 1 of Paris in Love for the next week. So watch, you know, episodes 8 to the end if you are watching. And I hope you enjoyed today's episode. So thank you again so much. And just a reminder, if you would like to, you know, do the rewatch of Ladies of London with me, which I am doing on my Patreon, you can sign up at patreon.com/BravoandBotox. We've done episodes 1, 2, and 3 of season 1 so far. And this week coming, we're going to be doing episodes 4 and 5. So if you want to join in this Thursday, episodes 4 and 5 recap will be up. If you want, you can watch the first 5 episodes. It is, Ladies of London is fantastic television, okay? And Caroline Stanbury's everything, actually the whole cast is fantastic. It is such a shame that this show is not still on or that they only had 3 seasons, but I'm really enjoying it. Okay, everyone, thank you so much for joining me, and I will see you next time. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Your support really means everything to me, and this show wouldn't be possible without you, the listeners. So please, if you enjoy the podcast, leave a 5-star rating and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. For more, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/BravoandBotox, and for $5 a month, you'll get 4 extra podcast episodes a month. You'll also get early releases of Bravo Paper episodes and more. Please also subscribe to my YouTube channel at The Bravo Papers and follow me on Twitter, Instagram, @BravoandBotox, and @The Bravo Papers. If you'd like to buy me a coffee, you can at buymeacoffee.com/BravoandBotox. You know, send your love through some much needed caffeine. And any guest that was on today's episode will be in the show notes, all their social media and contact information. So thank you so much, everyone. Keep overanalyzing Bravo.